Well, if you and I were visitors to the birth of Jesus like the shepherds, we would have probably acted like they acted, I'm sure, and felt like they felt that night. It was a normal night for them. Shepherds taking care of their sheep. They're taking care of their responsibilities. You probably did some of that tonight, you know, cooking or cleaning or eating or getting ready for church. Whatever your responsibility was, you were doing that. And they were living where they normally lived. You know, often had to be out in the fields, so they had it pretty tough. And the angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds. It's a real angel. Okay, no, all the shepherds see the angel. So it's no mass hallucination. You know, I was thinking about, wow, that would change my life right there. I trusted Christ for about 45 years or more. You know, a lot of ups and downs. A lot of doubts, a lot of sins, a lot of falling down, but God's faithfulness, you know, keeps me going in the right direction by His grace. And I've never seen an angel in 45 years, and I have no desire to see an angel. I would be terrified. Now, some of you, one or two of you, might say, "No, hey, I saw an angel." And if you tell me that story, I'll say, hey, very happy for you. I'm happy for you. But I would walk away thinking that guy has a great imagination. And hey, it could happen, you know. But I would be a doubting Thomas. And so the shepherds are down-to-earth, practical guys. You know, they're not even religious. So they don't have a bent for seeing things that aren't there. If the angel comes to them, and the glory of God shows around them, okay? And they're very afraid. They're full of dread. And the angel says to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. A Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Now, you can imagine those shepherds, you know. They don't have a lot going for them, but for God to send them a message, "A Savior is born to you." That's what God tells us tonight. Savior born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And suddenly, there was a lot of angels with the shepherds. And they were all praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill to men." And the shepherds did what you and I probably would do. They said, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this that has happened." And, you know, 2 years ago, we had a Mr. Bassam come to our church and speak. I don't know if you remember. He spent his whole life in the West Bank in Israel. And he said around Bethlehem, you know, which is predominantly Palestinian now, Jewish folks there, some Christian. But he said, around Bethlehem, there's still fields, you know, where shepherds do their work. They're taking care of those sheep. 2,000 years later, you know, adding credibility to what happened to those shepherds and to the story. And so back to the Bible, those shepherds hurry off to Bethlehem. Yeah, they made haste. I kind of like that. I don't know about you, but I like the hustle and bustle of Christmas time. When I see a crowd, I try to, you know, get to the head of the pack. You look at it as a game, maybe. You know, the cars are piled up. Well, how can I get a little faster without getting a ticket? You make haste. Make haste about something important. These shepherds, they made haste to see Christ. And if Christ knocks on the door of your heart, you know, you're going to be like that in your soul. You're going to say, "I'm going to hurry to trust Him and to follow Him. I'm going to hurry with all my soul." So the Savior's born to them, Christ the Lord. The Savior's born to us. Here we are 2,000 years later. About 2 billion people will gather tonight to experience what the shepherds experienced. 2 billion people, that's incredible. These, you know, small group of guys worshiping and Mary and Joseph, and that's all there was. And the word started to spread, the truth about who Jesus is. And you'd have to say, based on that, this is a very, very big event. This is the most important thing that ever hit the planet. Okay, you can't say after what happened between Jesus, the shepherds, and history, oh, it's kind of somewhat important, and I'll fit Jesus in somewhere in my life. You just have to say, no. The question is, can I, you know, will Jesus help me fit into what he came to do? Can I fit into that? Young preacher right there. Right? Can I fit into that? The Messiah comes and to do for us what we can't do on our own. Okay, we were lost. Our souls were out of touch with God. You know, no human system can fix the human soul. Makes sense, because the flawed people are trying to fix what's flawed. We need intervention to come. And so Christ would come. See, in our condition, we want to run our own life. We want to have things be in the place of God. You might say that's what sin is. Putting myself where God is, at the center, my own authority, worshiping God the way I think he is. It's kind of a vicious circle when we do that. But God makes a breakthrough. He comes and he says, wait a minute, I'll take your place. I'll come to your neighborhood. I'll come to your sinful, broken world and your sinful, broken soul if you invite me to. You know, and I'll do for you what you can't do for yourself. I'll take what's in your life, the sin, and the warfare against God and yourself, and rebellion against me, and I'll pay the penalty for that. I'll do that for you. And then you could be at peace with me if you sense that need in your soul to be at peace with God. And what a Savior he is, what a Messiah. And I think of the human experience. You know, one great thing about the Bible, you read it and you say, well, some of the things are incredible, but everything that the people did, hey, that's human nature. I could believe that. I could see people doing that. I could see myself doing it. And then God steps in and offers himself to all the people who are troubled, in trouble, and so forth. And to the mess of our soul, to the mess of the world, God says, I bring good news of great joy. The Messiah would take on our sin, our grief, our pain. And he takes our guilty place at the cross so we can have peace with God. You know, the swaddling clothes, Bible guys say the swaddling clothes Jesus was wrapped in. Same kind of cloth, apparently, that Jesus was wrapped in when he was buried and then rose from the dead. So God's rescue mission, you know, the rubber had hit the road when Jesus was born. Things were gonna happen within 30 years. And God says to us, peace on earth, goodwill to you. I like the old saying, when you know Jesus, you know peace. But if you say no to Jesus, you say no to peace. Know that for your soul, you know. And that doesn't mean if you trust and follow Christ, everything's going to feel great in your soul all the time. But his peace can take you through very, very terrible, troubled waters. And he remains true and faithful through the whole thing. And the Lord comes to us, and one man put faith in Jesus this way. Just as an illustration, he said, I used to think my relationship with God was like sending a fax out of a fax machine to God. Okay? And I would say, Lord, this is what I want. I want this kind of job. I want to be around these kind of people. I want this much health in my life. And I'll do the best I can, Lord, on my end. So, there you go. What do you think, Lord? It's my fax to you. And God wouldn't sign that fax. He said, what I discovered when I trusted Christ, it was like God sending a fax back to me. And most of the fax was blank. But there was a message in the fax saying, I give myself to you. I give my steadfast love to you. And my covenant, promise-keeping character, I give to you in the person of my son. Some of those concerns you have, I'm gonna leave blank. I'm going to take care of those for you. But I want you to sign it, sign that fax, and fax it back to me. He said, what it felt like when he would trust Christ. Would you be willing to sign? Yeah, I'm going to trust God. For eternity, for tonight, for all the aches and pains and terrible things in my soul, and also the joys of life. I'll trust Him. I think He's right in the middle of all of it. I think He is Lord of all. I think He's my Savior. I think He's God's Son. And you could do that. And you'll never regret trusting and following Him. At Christmas time, you know, Jesus reminds us He came on a rescue mission. He'd give us His peace, His goodwill. Heaven is a gift. Man's religion is us working up our way up to God. God, I'm going to do this for You. Would You do something good? God, come on, do Your part. We might as well be talking to the moon, okay, as if our talking to the moon is going to keep the moon in place. This is how we think sometimes about God. Instead, God says, let Me do for you. Create you. Sustain you. Be with you all the time. Bring you forgiveness. I'll be your rock in trouble. You might have more troubles following Me than following your own self. Who would pay attention to you if you followed your own self? Just be another boring, selfish person going down the street. Who needs that? But you follow Christ. You hear the goodwill to men and peace on earth. And God will come into your life, and any sinner in need can receive Christ as this gift. And would you be like the shepherds, with your soul be at haste to follow Him, to know Him? Then you spread the word with who you are. God does it real well through you. And in your soul, would you pray, you know, if you need to, pray, Lord, I believe You. Lord, I receive You. Lord, thank You for peace between Me and You. You brought on the cross and Your resurrection. And Lord, I want Your will. I want that goodwill to men. And He'll help us make haste to follow Him. So be close to the Lord this Christmas time. Can we pray together? Lord, thank You for Your love for each person here. Please work in every soul and do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Thank You that whatever mess we're in or difficulty we have or just plain boredom with life or boredom with You, you come to give a breakthrough. It wasn't the shepherds weren't seeking good news of great joy that night, but You gave it to them anyway. So I pray that You would do that for our souls as we continue to worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're welcome to participate in the candle lighting. Just a reminder, it's a lot easier when you pass that flame along. Think of the flame being straight up. So if you have a flame, you hold it straight up, please, and let your person near to you bend their candle and do that. And the next one, without the flame, bend their candle. Hold the flame up. Keeps the person around you from getting a wax bath tonight. Okay? So flame up. Bend that candle. There you go. And think about the Lord, please. We do have, I wanted to say, we have New Testaments. If you don't, you know, if you just don't read the Bible, there might be several who don't on a regular basis. But if you don't read the Bible, I'm being facetious. I'm sure at least half of us don't read it every day. But if you need a Bible to start off with, please take a New Testament. Read about Jesus. He will change your life, and it is the truth from Him. No. We'll think about the Lord now and pass the light. On Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle, and we remember Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in the Old Testament, it says, the people walking in darkness, our souls are dark without God. We're going to hurt ourselves, hurt everybody else. be at war with God. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. And even those who were walking just in death in every way, a light came, and Jesus came to us. So isn't it great that he would be like this? I have to bend my candle to do this. But we know Jesus is the light of the world. And no matter how bad the world gets, Christ will prevail. I have two sons, and trust Christ. I don't fear for them, because I know whatever happens, Christ will rule in their souls, and they'll follow him all the way to heaven. We want that for all the young ones here tonight. So as you take the light, by taking the light, you're saying, I need Christ. And with his help, I'll follow him. And you'll do it imperfectly, but you'll do it from his strength. And you'll be a joyful, glad, falling down, tripping, overcoming follower of his. And you'll have a life. You'll say, I can't believe how good the Lord was to me through all the problems and sins of my life.